What would you think if they did Undertaker versus Kane at WrestleMania?
Here's the thing.
It doesn't matter what you think!
You had to do that, didn't you?
Oh, that was priceless.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestled Wrestling. My name is Dustin Bork. We're excited. We're here again Monday. Well, technically, what is it? It's Tuesday, 12:02 a.m., but we like to do it, after Raw, before we go to bed. I'm here, as always, with my crew. I got Chris McSwiggin with me. I got my boy Jason Busy over here. We're going to do the Raw recap. We're going to talk a little MSG recap, and then we're going to get into a Mount Rushmore of the WWE. But first and foremost, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Oh, great. I mean, another week is in the books, and another unproductive, well, I won't say unproductive, it was productive for storyline purposes, another anticlimactic Raw in the books.
What do you think, Jay?
I would agree. I would agree. The Raw was a little anticlimactic, but you guys nailed it on the head with the opening rant this morning. You know, that Paul Heyman will definitely have a lot to say, and they're going to really push this, you know, Brock one more time against Undertaker, and they're really sticking to that one more time team. So I guess this is it. This is the last one. Hell
no. No, are they trying to kill the Undertaker? I'm not 100% sure with what they're doing with this. But, you know, I think, honestly, I called it. I said on Mediation Monday show today, that's how it was going to start. It was going to be Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar kicking off the show, and that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I liked it for the sense of I always enjoy a good, you know, a good Paul Heyman promo. He's one of the best mic guys I've heard in a long time. If I had, you know, a football team, I would want him to be our hype man in the locker room. That guy is just an animal on the microphone. But I understand Dustin's point, too, where, all right, we've seen Brock, you know, we've seen him, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's becoming less and less of a novelty, but the thing is with me is, I don't know, I like anything that has to do with the wrestling that I fell in love with, so if Undertaker is going to do that, then great, but, and, you know, I think Brock Lesnar is the most Attitude Era-esque person on the roster right now, just because he just destroys people and it's just sheer dominance, so I think that is what's keeping me interested in this match. But the one thing about Raw that I hated that I don't know if you guys cared about, and I actually thought about Dustin when this happened, was, your Roman Reigns comes out, he does his thing, it's Randy Orton, and then the Wyatt family again. I'm like, how many times is the same team going to fight each other?
Yep.
You know, it's just, It's like you can't give them any other opponent. I mean, even in the height of the Attitude Era, when there was a beef going on, they fought other people. And maybe
well, think
the
about it.
You had
the Hardys, right? Then the Hardys. Mm-hmm. Then 1 week they're fighting the Dudleys. Then 1 week the Dudleys are fighting Edge and Christian. Then 1 week, you know what I mean? They're fighting a different tag team.
Yeah,
Scotty
Tuhati
and Chris, what's his face? Brian Christopher or whatever his name was. So it's like you got to have multiple guys, right? So we're not just watching Raw this week again next week. Like you can shuffle the card up all you want. Like what they do is they try to send, you know, they have Randy Orton kick the show off. Like, okay, great. You got a guy who should be in a main event doing the first match of the night. So, I mean, all that tells me is that he had stuff to do later that night. So you're going to let him do his match, get it over with, and then take off, you know? I just don't get it. I'm worried, you know, I'm very, very vocally against this New Day BS. I don't think they're entertaining. I'm not a fan. It doesn't make me laugh when they dance like idiots. You know, if you want an entertaining, just for, you know, show value tag team, like I said, bring the Worm back. Bring Scotty Tuhati. Get a team like that. You know, hell, the Dudley Boys are bringing enough entertainment to it, and all they do is scream, "What's up?" and then do their dumb.
How about Rikishi?
You know, their random moves.
You remember when Rikishi used to dance?
Yeah. Rikishi was, I feel like, more of a product of Scotty Tuhati, though, and the other kid, because they were always known for dancing. And then when Rikishi joined that little stable, they all started kind of having like that dance thing at the same time together. So I don't know, Jay, what did you think about Raw? Well, Chris, are you done with your Raw recap, or did you have anything else bring up?
Okay, so the recap. Obviously, he comes out. You know, he starts off the whole thing. From that point forward, I kind of zoned out. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, the Wyatts and Roman Reigns and all them, sure. Ryback is talking about Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens fought Neville. And, you know, the whole distraction from Wade Barrett, okay, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was just really anticlimactic. They had the whole Susan G. Komen cancer thing, which is, you know, nice, great. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, if this was Attitude Era, like, they'd have somebody come in and, like, you know, tombstone these women or something, you know? Like if something climactic happened, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like just have, you know, have the Susan G. Komen women join the Ho train with the Godfather or something, you know? Like, that's terrible. That's terrible if you've ever had cancer or anyone in your family's ever had it, but that's what used to make it entertaining, being raw, literally, and just grotesque used to be interesting. Now, to waste 25 minutes it's too soft for me, really. You know,
it's
like, okay,
PG.
I understand it's breast cancer awareness month, but whatever.
Yeah.
You what?
It's too PG. It's too PG.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the problem.
Well, you know, the reason they did this PG era was because Lyndon McMahon ran for governor of the state of Connecticut, and, you know, and ever since then they were like, oh, well, we don't like your product and your program. So then she had to clean everything up. Well, okay, she lost. Now go back to what was entertaining, all right? And
well, the only thing
beyond
that is they've been completely vocal with the fact that they picked up Kmart, and Kmart was like, we're not touching you until you clean the blood up, you stop pimping out girls for the show, you know, get appropriate because we got, you know, 10-year-old kids shopping with their families. And that was the end. That was the end.
Yeah.
It was Kmart. Linda McMahon, yeah, beginning of the end, but it could have easily gone back when she lost, like you said. But they picked up a major player, and they just completely got, you know, completely out of touch.
Well, I
remember
it started in 1999 when Al Snow had his doll, his action figure, removed from shelves because of the head that was with it. And they were saying, oh, it's a woman's severed head and blah, 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 blah. And people were, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, on Raw, after that, you know, the whole Kane and Seth Rollins fiasco, Dudley Boys, you know, as soon as Kane went to the back, you knew he was going to come back as the masked Kane. That was predictable. Seth Rollins going through the table, that was predictable. You know, the Divas matchup was somewhat entertaining because they're all pretty good to look at. But for the most part, to me, there was advancement of the storyline, but there was nothing where I'm watching and going, oh, wow, You know, there was some Ray proposing to Rusev. That was beautiful. I brought a tear to my eye, you know. But other than that, yeah, really not much. And, you know, and I hate when they end the show with nothing. I mean, they end the show with a tag team being – so basically what they did was they put – they basically spit in the face of Ziggler, Cena, and the Dudleys by saying, okay, well, obviously New Day is who we want to get the push. We want WWE basically – because back in the Attitude Era, back in the good old days, they ended the show with the top storyline and the top guys in the business, and they ended the storyline with the guys they wanted you to pay attention to. So obviously they want us to
even
pay
more than
to
that, Chris. Even more than that, they left you hanging. Like you're like, oh my god, I want to fast forward to next week because I got to see what Stone Cold's going to do now. You know what I mean? They left you hanging.
Yeah.
It was the end of like an epic movie that you knew the sequel was coming out next week. But that doesn't happen as much anymore. You get one of them every pay per view sequence, and it's always the one before the pay per view. So you'll go watch the pay per view. That's how predictable this industry has gotten is, and I've said this 1,000 times, before we brought this show to live and it was just me talking to my phone like an idiot, I said, these are the garbage Raw episodes. It's the first, second, and third Raw after the pay-per-view. They mean freaking nothing, dude. They mean nothing. You get the fallout of the pay-per-view, so that keeps you interested. So before you paid for WWE Network, you could buy them for $60 a pop like I was. I would never pay $60 unless it was Shawn Michaels back in his prime. I wasn't buying that shit. So the whole point of watching the Raw after the pay-per-view was you usually either got that photo slide, what happened, or you got the clips. And you're like, oh, my God, he's champ. He won or he retained the title. And then you get that quick summary, and then, boom, you get right into the thick of things. But other than that, those in-betweeny Raw episodes, man, are they painful.
They're painful.
Well, you know, and back in the day, every Raw was, you know, back in the day, every Raw was exciting. And every Raw had a reason to watch, and it had a storyline that you were interested in. Even if you didn't like a lot of the mid-card stuff, it had a storyline that you were somewhat interested in somewhere. So,
what do you guys
you know,
think about
now,
the Ziggler, Lana, Summer Rae, Rusev? That was very Attitude Era. I wasn't interested because I'm 28 now and I don't get into that as much. But if I was a 15-year-old, I mean, hormones or raging kid, I would have been digging that storyline because that reminds me of Attitude Era, Trish Stratus and Torrey Wilson in the locker room with Vince. The door opens and they're just giving him a blowjob. So it's like that stuff got – that was an Attitude Era flashback. So did you guys like that or did you find it too cheesy?
I mean, at first I liked it, but then it dragged on too long. And then there's no character development for any of the four participants. It kind of brought Rusev down a notch when, you know, he was really peaking right before WrestleMania and sad that he's not going to get back to that level. And Lana,
isn't it weird that they'll never really – I've yet to see a non-American guy that's very patriotic or I'm sorry, non-patriotic, like very defendant of their – thing like Rusev is Putin, you know, like his stuff. Why won't they let this guy get the belt for a little bit? Like really make you hate him and make him a great villain that ultimately, you know, your fanboys like Chris would just come in their pants when Cena gets to beat him, bring the belt back to the U.S. and then it's all this big.
I don't
know
why you think I'm a fanboy. I used to enjoy it.
No, you openly admitted that you want to let John Cena sit on your face. Like you're that much of a fan of John Cena.
Well, Nikki Bella maybe. I don't know about John Cena, but
there you go.
So
that's
Chris,
also,
that's
also a
so
problem.
You were upset with the ending. You felt like very very lukewarm. Did not give you anything to look forward to at all.
No.
So what do you think, Jay? What was your take out of this night? What did you get out of Raw tonight?
Okay, just like you said, it's one of those. It was painful to watch because, especially with the ratings being so bad, you would think they would spice things up a little bit, but not even. I mean, it's just we gotta wait till the Dallas Raw, where things pick up again, you know, and that's just unfortunate. You know, the problem I find with the WWE right now is they have a very lack of heels. They need more heels. There's too many faces. Like, you can't have a whole tag team division with just one heel faction, one heel team. And the mid-card is a mess. Thank God they put the belt on Kevin Owens. At least he could talk and carry the belt. And I don't know what they're going to do with Seth. I mean, after Kane, then what? What's going to happen after Hell in a Cell?
Well, I personally don't. I think Chris mentioned this last week. I'm not a big fan of this, you know, Rollins-Kane thing. I think I read an article. I have no idea how legitimate it is or if it's one of those made-up ones. But I read that Cena's taken 2 months off.
I was hearing that too.
Right. So I read that he's taking some serious time off. He gave no reason. There's no injury listed. There's no, like,
personal reason. Yeah.
Right. He said personal. So now the thing that I knew, now I don't watch Total Divas, but I remember from a Daniel Bryan podcast that Brie wants to have a kid, and she wants to have a kid soon because they're both getting, you know, not up there like old, but getting up there to that frame of time you want to start having a kid.
So you're not.
Yeah, but you really, by about 31 or 32, you really want to kind of have a kid. Because you're thinking by the time they're 20, I want to at least be around like early 50s. You don't want to be 60
right.
when your kid's 20. You know, there's that buffer of the, you know, in a perfect world scenario. But I know that Daniel had said, you know, Brie wants to have a kid for sure. And, you know, what better time than Daniel not being able to compete anymore because of his injuries. But this doesn't explain John, because that would make me think it would be a perfect setup for Nikki, because if John's going to take 2 months off and Nikki wanted to get knocked up, that would have worked together perfectly. But we've known from the only season of Total Divas that I did watch, and it was because it was the first season and I wanted to know what it was about. And it was, you know, all just about the Bellas, that gorgeous redhead, Eva Marie, and like a few other of the, the Heart girl. What's her name? Crap.
Natalia.
Yeah, Natalia. So it was about like the main ones before they started bringing in all these like random ones like Paige and all that. And it was basically showing you kind of like, I liked it because you got to see John Cena out of character basically dealing with his relationship with Nikki Bella. Yeah, the cameras are on, so you would think a little bit of it is not as genuine. But there were like legitimate arguments and some shit about relationships that I actually bought. Like, so if they were full of shit and acting, they sold me. But there was a lot of times where Cena and Nikki had some uncomfortable confrontations and arguments about their relationship, having kids, getting married. And I know for a fact Cena does not want to get married, does not want to have kids, and does not want anything to do with that lifestyle. So to me, this personal time off blows me away, because this either tells me, I know he's very against, because there's a family member of his who has it. I'm wondering if it's got anything to do with that. I'm wondering if it's got something to do with a sick family member, cancer, no cancer. I don't know, but a guy who clearly is the face of the WWE currently, you know, just taking 2 months off, if that's legitimate, that kind of shocks me. I really can't imagine why he would be doing that.
Is it me? Or is Brie Bella way too hot for Daniel Bryan?
I mean, if Daniel Bryan trims the beard and if you leave the beard and go back to his short hair, he's not an ugly dude. He's just average. He looks like a lumberjack. But the whole growing my hair out, letting the beard go down to my chest, that's the whole goat thing is legitimate. He looks like an absolute idiot. But I mean, that whole, you know, retro lumberback look has been coming around hard. You know, you see it a lot now. Everybody's rocking beards. Everybody's rocking long hair.
Yeah.
You know, the man bun is out in full effect right now. So, some girls are into that shit. Now, this is what I want to know. You know, this isn't exactly for any female listeners. I think Brie Bella is the prettier sister, but Nikki's the one with the body. And I always
totally
said
agree.
If you could take Brie... If you could take Brie's face, throw it on Nikki. I know they're twins and this sounds ridiculous, but when you put them next to each other, Brie's face is a 10 out of fucking 10 and Nikki's a 9. And that's the only way you could make that package any better is by just flip-flopping that.
Yeah, but have you noticed, though, that she is, Nikki, has gotten a little bigger, like her legs and her butt?
Putting on weight.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. Put on some weight.
But I love it. I love it. That's me, man. I'm always going to take, if you put two ladies' builds in front of me, I'm always going to take the Nikki over the Brie. That's just me. I'm skin and bone.
All day, but, all day.
Yeah.
Now, how about, Charlotte, she's just too tall and skinny.
Charlotte's cross training, like phenomenal shape, but she looks like her dad. It's hard to get around
too
that.
Too much like her dad.
Yo, how crazy? I know we're off topic. This is the last thing about this, but how much of a freak do you think Sasha Banks is?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Probably.
You know what I'm very disappointed in is the fact that so many people swaggerjacked Eva Marie over the last month with that bright red hair, because she was the only one to do it. She was the only one to do it and the first one to do it. And I've now seen two divas on Raw with that hair, and Eva Marie is nowhere to be found. She's stuck in next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm kind of bummed about that.
They're not quite as bright as her, though.
If you put all three of them standing next to each other, they look like they're wearing the exact same wig.
I guess, yeah. But
yeah.
So I'm bummed about that because that's what separated her from the pack, and I think that's what brought a lot of animosity to her way, because she's obviously, gorgeous. But when you do something that blatant to stand out, that is – for women, that's awful, because women hate that. They hate when you walk into a room all at the same time and all the eyes go to one spot and it's not on them. They absolutely fucking hate that. And she killed it, man. She is something else, and then having that hair only brought it to another level. But we're a little off topic, but fuck it. How about the MSG, right? So Chris did Raw recap. Jason, take us through MSG since you were there, my man.
It was actually a good show. I was surprised to see did you guys see the matches? Did you guys see all the matches?
Oh yeah, I watched it all the way through.
Like, I was really impressed with the cage match. And even the Dudley Boys versus New Day, it was actually a decent match. Typical squash ending. You can't, the 3-on-2, that's what's going to happen. I also thought the tag team match with Orton and Ziggler with Sheamus and Rusev was quite entertaining. See, that's something they could have built on. They could have built on Rusev and have a little mini feud with Sheamus. I mean, there's so much story. There's so much potential stories out there that the WWE needs to explore. But other matchup that happened, a typical Divas match with the team PCP versus the Bellas. Bellas looked good in that match.
That was the one where Paige, she got left high
she
and dry, right?
By her teammates, yeah. Little turnabout.
Yeah, and then she went on her minute and a half rant on the mic.
That made no sense.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with, like, you can almost see it in her face that she was, like, lost. Like, she forgot what she was going to talk about, or either that or she realized how stupid it sounded halfway through, because she started to kind of, like smile. I don't know if the crowd was digging it and she was pumped, or if she just realized it was that bad, I don't know.
I think she realized it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And do we have Big Show in?
Maybe it's the accent, but I think everything she says sounds kind of silly. Maybe it's just the accent thing, though. I don't know.
I personally think she was part of the reason that Tough Enough tanked, in my mind. I think her and Jericho really tanked Tough Enough. I think they turned it too much into a fake reality show. Like, guys, all right, this is actually a cool topic to kind of take some time on, like 5 or 10 minutes. Tough Enough, when it first came out, that first season with The Miz, right, with Mike from Real World. And I think John Morrison was on the first season, right? Johnny Mundo,
right.
Johnny Nitro. And he didn't make it. But then, obviously, we know he went on to WCW, crushed it, came to WWE, crushed it, and then, whatever. I mean, crush it, you're a well-known star. Like, to me, that you did a hell of a job. So, I mean, dude, that show was awesome. These guys came out the beginning of the show. They're on a beach, and they start doing an obstacle course. Then you go from an obstacle course to going into this giant training facility. You're hitting the mat. You're learning how to take bumps, how to do flips, all these really uncomfortable things that people take for granted. Like I don't know if you guys remember Slam Ball. This isn't completely related,
mm-hmm.
but I tried out for Slam Ball back in like 2004 in Brooklyn. I took a flight to New York. No, I took a train from New Hampshire to New York. I stayed in a hotel called the Paramount, and it was in Times Square. It was probably one of the most expensive small rooms I've ever seen in my life. Think $300, and the door hit the bed when I opened it. So I stayed there. I got hustled when I got off the train by a black dude who told me he would help me find my way to the hotel if I gave him money. Got me to the hotel and then wouldn't let me walk away until I gave him money. So I gave him like $100 out of my pocket. The dude was twice my size. This was New York, like a one-stop shop of New York. This is my only experience of New York at that time as a kid. I was young. I knew nothing. So I got hustled by a dude off the train who apparently helped me to my hotel, which was 3 blocks away from the subway. But I didn't know jack shit about Times Square. So anyways, I go there, spend the night in the hotel, take 3 different connections to get to some broken down old airport where they're having the tryouts. It's been converted into this giant sports facility. The place is incredible. And you go there, they started doing basketball drills. You had this major obstacle course that you had to run through. And then they put me on the trampoline and they said, all right, show us what you got. And when you go on this trampoline, it's a different type of trampoline, guys. They have double springs. The material's twice as tight, so these guys can fly 40 feet in the air by barely stepping on the thing. So when you go and you're preparing for a show like this or for a sport like this and you don't have access to the type of things that they use, it can be kind of a shocking moment for you. So I go and get on the thing, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I take a few bounces, jump into the foam pit, and I was like, wow, this is a lot different than I expected. But you start actually preparing and doing these things that you thought in your head you could do no problem, but then you get there and it's that slap in the face, like, wow, this is why these guys are on TV. You know, this is why these guys are getting paid money to do this. And that's what I loved about Tough Enough, is you actually believed that this was one of the hardest jobs in the world to do. You didn't sit back and be like, man, this is a joke, dude. If I spent 2 months working out, I could do this. And that's what you got out of this season of Tough Enough. It was a joke. You barely saw any kind of physical challenges. When there were physical challenges, they were stupid as hell. You know, swim through a swamp with a fake crocodile head in the distance popping out. Like, really? That to me, you're going to tell me that's gonna determine whether or not I become the next great WWE superstar, is who's afraid of a fake crocodile head and who's a good swimmer? Like, this is, you know, and then you got Billy Gunn waking you up with a megaphone at, you know, at 5 a.m. to go get you to run a mile out in front of the facility, the training. It's like, dude, come on. And then the voting by social, that to me was the travesty, guys. That to me is what doomed that show. You let all of us determine who these people or which one of these people makes it big. Do you really wonder why a loser like ZZ made it all the way to the end? Because America loves an underdog. That's why. Because people see this average, out-of-shape guy. He says everything you want to hear in a movie when he's on camera. You know, I have a big heart. I believe that, yeah, I might not look the part, but I'm going to damn well give you every last, you know, drop of energy I got.
The Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
Syndrome.
All you have to do is be the face, is be a baby face, tell the people what they want to hear. ZZ, you know what? He should have won that show because he was the only one who was smart enough to realize this is what I got to do to get by. He didn't give a shit about Billy Gunn, Chris Jericho, The Miz, Paige, Daniel Bryan. They didn't matter. It was all the people that had the WWE app downloaded that were watching the show. All he had to do was be like, you know, feel bad for me. I may not look the part, but I deserve a chance. And that bought him away to the finals. How many guys that looked like action figures got cut 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks into the program and didn't even deserve to, but people thought they were assholes, so they're like, fuck you, dude, you're getting voted off, and then these guys got to go home. It blew me away. This season, I think, might have doomed the franchise, But luckily on that WWE Network, they got a different one with a different name that actually brings you back to the first season of Tough Enough. And it's all about injuries, taking bumps, learning the fundamentals, trying to make it into the industry. I think it's called Beyond the Mat or something.
Yep, Beyond the Mat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new show. That's the one I will watch. But Tough Enough, no chance. What do you guys think about Tough Enough this past season and then in the past?
No, I agree. The first two seasons were amazing. One was pretty interesting. And I forgot who won the second year, but
it was that guy with the tall – he was the tall, blonde-haired guy, remember? He didn't turn into anything. He beat out – yeah, I don't remember his name, but he beat out that dude with the duck ass who looked like Randy Orton, the guy who was doing off-the-top rope gymnastic shit. He was really cocky, and I was pulling for him because, like I said, the dude had a – he had the build. I'm not that difficult to please as a fan. If you're 6'5", tattoos, no tattoos, but if you got no fat on you and you look like an action figure, I'm satisfied. You're a wrestler. I believe it. But when Rikishi comes down, I'm just like, dude, get this fat dude out of the ring. That's my biggest beef with Kevin Owens. You're getting paid what you're getting paid. You're going to be the future of this industry. Get on a fucking treadmill, dude. Like, you look like a slob. This dude looks
nowadays,
he only wears a t-shirt because he's so self-conscious about his fucking gut. Hit the treadmill.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody's going to look like Chris Masters anymore. I mean, remember that guy when he came out?
Not even Masters. Look at Randy Orton. Look at Cena. Look at Seth Rollins. You want a perfect example of the bare minimum? Seth Rollins. He's 6'1", and he's built like Shawn Michaels. He's just average. He's nothing to write home about. He's just athletic.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that it's become a business now, and it's become – they're more about – they're not looking for guys – who are, like when they're doing this show, they're not looking for the best athletes anymore, unfortunately, like they used to be.
It's the participation era. Like, they want husky dudes out there so they can make the husky, they got a shot. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not just that. They're not necessarily looking for the best talent. What they're looking for is they're looking for characters. So, for instance... They when they see each guy, they go, okay, how can we market him and his body type and his look or her body type and her look, whichever one, how can we market them as a character? They're looking at them in kayfabe. They're not looking at them as athletes. And that's why the best athletes that are built the best and can do all the stuff and else in the ring who may not have the personality that they want are losing because they're looking at people no matter what they look like. If they can mold them and work them and write them into a storyline as a particular character. And I think that's why the show is going to start to fail because it was never about that. It was about finding the best athlete who could, you know, perform in the ring and do the best. And now it's all about scripting Disney characters,
for
you know?
I got a question for both of you guys. We'll lead off with Jason. I think we need more big guys. I think we need more big guys. I think we need even that ugly bastard with the ugly wife beater crew. He's at least big, and I buy that he's powerful because they're selling it that way. When a guy can pick up Randy Orton and twist him around in a chokehold like a rag doll, I can dig it. And I think you need that overpowering Big Show. That guy, I don't even know his name because I don't care about him enough, but he's at least bigger. You need the big dudes, the 7-footers, to come out and be powerful, to make that David versus Goliath thing. I don't want too many of the same guys looking out there. You know what I mean? You need that variety.
I totally agree. Because, like, who's the big guy now? I mean, they consider Ryback the big guy.
Brock Lesnar's the big guy, realistically. He's not even that big. He's like 6'4".
That's true.
What do you think, Chris? Do we need the New Age Undertaker and Kane to show up?
New Age Undertaker and Kane to show up. Well, from a fan standpoint, sure, but they can never do that because those
guys... Well, obviously
guys,
they can't copy the character, but I'm saying like that, we need a new breed of 7-footers to show up and put a scare into the fans, right? And show up and like make you think Cena doesn't have a chance, Rollins doesn't have a chance.
Well, we need
Owens,
but I think I think that's what they're trying to do with this Braun Strowman. That's what they're trying to do with this guy. And... I don't
but there's
know
only one. You can't only do it with one. You got to inject the lineup with like three of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, because what happens is you do it with one and you burn out the fuse, and then now that guy's done. Nobody cares about him anymore because they only cared about him for those 2 weeks. It was one and done, and then no big deal. But if you throw three of them in, right, Undertaker, Kane, Big Show, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, man, dude, these guys are nuts. You know what I mean? How can you stop Undertaker? Fuck it, how can you stop Kane? Oh, well, when you get these guys taken care of, there's the Big Show. You know, like, if you only have one guy and then he's the guy, you start to think, well, if I send my entire lineup out there, they're going to beat the crap out of the dude. But if you got three of them, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I think that also Undertaker and Kane being the way that they are and being the novelties, I guess, that they are, those guys are once-in-a-lifetime guys. I mean, I think if you bring in a bunch of guys like that, you know, you sort of hurt their legacy a little bit. You know, especially if you make them megastars. I think you kind of say, all right, you know, Undertaker and Kane were, besides Big Show, were the 7-foot, like, monsters, basically. And I think now what they're trying to do is they're trying to get more... They're trying to script this thing like a sitcom TV show every week, and they are trying to put fear into people because their whole motive and agenda, they're based around children. They want to sell T-shirts to 10-year-olds and put Cena's face on lunchboxes. That's what they're trying to do. They're not trying to have the, you know, late 20s, early 30s guys sitting around drinking beer watching Raw. They don't want that. They want kids to wear T-shirts to school with their wrestlers on it and stuff. And so I think by bringing guys in like that, that would actually go against, I think, what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I agree that they should, sure. No. But that's, you know, I don't think that they ever will.
I just don't want the roster to turn into the cruiserweight division. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to all be the same
size.
Everybody's
the same size, yeah.
Yeah. And then you know what I mean? Like, without that variety, without that, I don't know, just that struggle, why do you watch? You know what I mean? The only reason why we care about Brock Lesnar is because when he shows up, he's going to dominate, right? So once these dominating guys leave, who are you left with? Cena, Rollins? Like, these guys don't have any of that. Like, I was watching some old clips of Macho Man and Hulk Hogan and Warrior. Hulk Hogan, it was the funniest thing. He'd get hit, then all of a sudden he'd shake, and he'd get hit again, and he'd be like, no, 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 and the crowd starts, like, hyping up, and he gets hit again. He starts shaking, and then you hear the announcer, the adrenaline's kicking in. Like, it was fake, like a superhero. They need to get back to that because I think too many people have realized that this is fake. So now it's almost like they don't even try anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they're not trying to sell it anymore.
Well, also, though, in the Attitude Era back then, there were so many things that they were so much better at faking, per se, if you want to say faking. Because when you're hitting somebody with a chair, I mean, they used to hit them over the head, but you could hear it. You could hear the smack of the chair on their head. So you're like, well, okay, he definitely made contact. He definitely hit him, you know. And then, you know, with the sledgehammers and with the all the weapons and the different things, they definitely made contact. They definitely, whether they made it look like they hit him harder than they did or not, people were like, wow, okay, well, he definitely just got hit in the head with a chair, like, regardless. Now,
dude, I watched the WrestleMania 14th for about the 10th time. It's my favorite one, even though it's probably the saddest one to me because obviously you guys know I'm a Shawn guy. But the hype video for that is so freaking awesome, like all the different Raws leading up to it. I actually watched it. Then I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I went back and found the date when the Austin-Michaels rivalry started after Austin won the Royal Rumble, and I watched all the Raws in order leading up to the pay-per-view, so it was more like, you know, legitimate. Some of the – when you see Austin get taken out by DX and Shawn's punching Austin in the face, I slow-mo'd it. He's getting punched in the face. Like, they're doing something with their elbows, so when the fist lands, it only feels like getting slapped, and they buckle their arm. So this is an example of what's going wrong with wrestling. JR on his Ross report is like, you got to get rid of the fist, the face. It's so bad. It looks like the fist doesn't come within a foot of the face. The guy's head's already snapping back. He's like, do away with it because these guys can't sell it. He's like, do away with it and just go to the elbow or just do away with the fake striking. So I don't know, man. I'm just the direction, that little stuff like that, striking. Like, I was sold, man. As a kid, I thought these guys were punching themselves, punching each other in the face. And it just doesn't seem like that anymore, you know. And I just don't know. But you know what? So I let Chris do the Raw recap. I let Jason kind of talk about MSG. Before we get into our Mount Rushmores, I want to say one thing about tonight's Raw. And it's kind of a hat tip in Chris's direction. Michael Cole sucks so bad that I literally, like, the energy of Raw at the end, when New Day came out, if that was JR when New Day came out, JR would have been losing his shit, and you would have been into it. Even though you hate New Day, you would have been like, oh, my God, New Day's doing this, da, da, da. But instead,
sure,
what do you get?
JR,
what do you get?
Make,
here comes,
eating,
and here comes New Day. Yeah,
JR
here comes New Day.
Mr.
Da, 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 da. It's the same tone. He's not excited.
Same tone, yeah.
God, Michael Cole sucks. I mean, I hope they develop this Braxton whatever kid and turn him into the next JR, because they need something with personality back there, because Mike just isn't getting it done. But yeah, man, I never yearned for the lack of Jim Ross until tonight, when I was like, this is awful. This is awful. So we got 18 minutes left. We'll get into our last segment. It's the Mount Rushmore of the WWE. Now, I guess we could have said the whole wrestling industry, but the way I look at it is WWE's bought in everything, right? They own everything. They have the monopoly. So what was WCW is now WWE. They're electing WCW guys in the WWE Hall of Fame. So I'm not going to sit here and do Mount Rushmore of wrestling, because it's like, if you want to name a Ring of Honor guy, more power to you. But realistically, I think the best of the best have all come through WWE at one point in time. So I think what I want to do is I want to let Chris go first, then Jay, and then I'll say mine and we'll kind of talk about it. But what I want to do is I want you to think about this way. The Ring of Honor, first of all, I mean, not the Ring of Honor, the Mount Rushmore, we know it's only four heads, right? I want to expand it to five to allow for a female. Okay, so four dudes, one female. So that way we can kind of include the Divas as a whole since they've started. And so,
all right. Susan B. Anthony would be proud of you.
Right, so think of it this way. There's a 5-versus-5 match, okay? So a 10-man/female match, all right? Who do you got on your team, okay? Think of it like that. Don't think of it. Because Mount Rushmore can be thought of as, oh, who did the most for wrestling? And I'm not going to go that direction with my guys. I'm saying pick your five that are going to go into battle for you and win the match. Okay? They can be icons. They can be a person that made the most difference in, you know, for the women. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying pick your five that way. Like, the match is going to happen. It's going to be a three-way match. I'm picking five. You're picking five. Jason's picking five. And we're going to roll it that way and hit simulate on the video game, and we're going to see who wins the match. So, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I like that approach.
All right, well, on the first one, it's going to take me a minute here, like literally a minute. But bear with me, but I think this has to be done and said. The first guy that I'm going to choose, obviously, when you want it won, it's going to be this guy. Oh, wait. Whoops. That's not the one I'm talking about. Hold on. I got something else.
What an idiot.
Right here.
What an idiot.
He's put everybody down with sweet chin music. And he has put Austin down before as well, as we know. Austin back up somehow. Uh-oh. Austin ducks it. Austin going for the stunner. And Michael counter. Michael's going for another kick. Austin, he got it. The stunner. Mike Tyson in. Austin is the champion. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Wait a minute.
So JR said all I needed to say right there. Stone Cold is the guy for the first one that I'm choosing, just because even though physically he wasn't the most dominating, I think I've seen him lose two matches the whole time I've been watching. I mean, the dude just runs through people. So Austin's obviously going to be one. I don't have audio clips for all of them because I just got the idea, so we don't have time to load them all. But but The Rock is probably the second one. Third one, obviously Undertaker. Fourth one would be, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, just because he's an indestructible motherfucker and you cannot keep him down, it's got to be Mankind or Mick Foley. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, because the dude...
I did not expect that at
down.
All. Yeah, good.
Just,
no,
just,
that's a great pick. That is a great pick.
Yeah, he just won't stay down. And in fact, here's a little trivia for you. You guys probably know this, but Mick Foley holds the highest ever win-loss record against The Undertaker. In fact, nobody
comes
close to the record that Mankind holds against The Undertaker.
Well, if you think about it, Kane lost a lot of those matches against Taker.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, all those matches when they were trying to pump him up, the Inferno match and the casket matches and WrestleMania match, and yeah, Kane lost all those. He was physically dominating of The Undertaker, but Mankind holds the win-loss record over The Undertaker. No one has one like him. So I'm going to put Mankind in there. Obviously, The Undertaker, because I have a hard-on for The Undertaker. Stone Cold, because who doesn't have a hard-on for him? The Rock, because obviously, and for a girl, for a chick, I'm going to say, in my opinion, the greatest women's champion of all time, Trish Stratus.
Okay. All right, what do you got, Jay?
All right, see, for my first pick, I'm going to go with the Rattlesnake. I'm going to go with Stone Cold. And then I'm going to go with the Viper, Randy Orton.
Nice pick.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to definitely go with Orton. And third pick, I'm going to pick Shawn Michaels. Definitely take Shawn Michaels in there. My number four guys had a hard time thinking about it, but I'm going to go with Triple H. I mean, he really filled that void when Shawn was gone. And even when Shawn came back, he was a top flight heel. Like, I didn't see Hunter turning out to be that way. So
Triple H is the man. I was going to pick Triple H, but I didn't pick McFoley. So yeah, Triple H is the man.
Yeah, definitely. And females, I'm going to go with Lita, because Lita was Ronda Rousey way before Ronda Rousey was, like, even born.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had some battles, though, didn't they, Lita and Trish? They really did. Now that I think about it.
You took my pick. I never thought in a million years anybody was going to pick Lita. You bastard. I'm like, I'm going to catch these guys off guard. They're going to think I'm picking Sable and blah, blah, blah. But that's why I kind of changed the template, because realistically, if I pick Sable, she sucked as a wrestler. She was just gorgeous, and she kind of was one of the first to get in the ring. That was like one of the first models to get in the ring. But, I mean, she didn't really move like a female athlete. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take Lita because she's doing freaking moonsaults off the top rope.
And that song,
the
visible thong, was cool, too. Because back in the day,
that was
like taboo
back
in the day,
tail.
You know?
Yeah, the whale tail, right?
Yep.
Okay, so far, you got Chris with Austin, Jay with Austin. You got Chris with The Rock, Jay with RKO. You got Chris with Taker, Jay with HBK. And then Chris Mankind, Jay with Triple H. Then you got Trish for Chris, and then Lita for Jay. So those were, like, to me, those are pretty strong lineups. I mean, all right, so let's do it this way. I got – it's kind of stuck to try to, like, be, you know, to not copy everybody is difficult because we have a lot of the same guys. All right, so my number one
– let me make that simple for you. I'm going to throw a man over the top rope. Then another. Then another. Then another. Then another. Then another. Then another. 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 How many men was that? You get the picture, Stone Cold Steve Austin is throwing 29 some bitches over the top rope.
I mean, this guy for a drunk bastard was definitely one of the best guys on the mic. I mean,
what?
Yeah,
what?
I can't really think of a lot of that really just carried the game. You know, Sean went out with the back injury. Stone Cold stepped in and really, in a way, took the torch and brought it to another, you know, to another height. I think of Sean as the originator. He was the guy that, you know, really, really, really took that, the athleticism, to another notch. A lot of these guys did not want to do crap off the top rope. A lot of these guys did not want to run a certain speed. And Sean just brought it to another level. But then even after that, Austin took it up a notch higher with the Attitude Era, with that in-your-face, I'm going after my boss angle. That really landed home with a lot of people. So I gotta take Austin. I got a fun one for my second pick. I was cracking up all day.
Now you must deal with the creation of all the unpleasantries in the entire universe as I feel the injection from the gods above. I only know that the Ultimate Warrior is totally out of control. As you, Hulk Hogan, travel. WrestleMania! Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice. Shove that control into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan!
Oh, man. I mean, I could listen to him do promos all night. The way these guys talked, it almost looked like they were going to give themselves like a heart attack. The veins are bulging out of the side of the guy's neck. His head looks like it's going to explode.
Macho
would get so red. Oh, Hulk Hogan, I'm going to get you. Like, he would go into this crazy, yeah. Like, I thought it was going to be all over. I was afraid these guys were going to have a stroke, you know, midway through. God, it was scary stuff. But I just think that the Ultimate Warrior, he did so much for the, you know, for the industry at the beginning. And him and Hulk Hogan were a great pair. You know, they had that back and forth that you know, nobody really could compare.
Now, are
to.
You Other putting Hogan on your list?
No, I'm not going to put Hogan on my list because I think beyond the fan thing where he's like pumping himself up and being really fake, I don't think there's much to Hulk Hogan. I don't think he was really able to do much other than to flex and say, brother, you know, he didn't really, to me, excite me. You know, now I'm not one of the original wrestling guys. I'm a late Attitude Era fan. You know, I only knew it when I was a kid and I missed the Hulk Hogan era. But I will say this, Hulk Hogan WCW was a lot different than Hulk Hogan in WWF. I like WCW Hogan way better than WWF Hogan because I thought the villain Hulk Hogan spoke way more to me. You know what I mean? I was more impressed with him as a villain in the NWO, you know, like really just awesome. Hogan was the man in the NWO, but I don't know. So I got Austin. I got Macho Man. I obviously got Shawn. I had a lot of problems because I wanted to put Triple H in, but I can't find a place for him because I got to put The Rock in. You know, for what The Rock accomplished, and then on top of that, how good he was in the ring. You know, the dude was a big time college defensive end. I mean, you know what I mean? This guy was playing in the University of Miami. He played at Miami U, right?
Yep.
It's like he could have you know, he could have been in the NFL. So it's like, you want to talk about an athlete. So I'm going Austin, HBK, Rock, Ultimate Warrior, and then since Mylita, I'm going to counter with China. Because I think China was one of the only girls who held the man title, correct? She was the Intercontinental champion. And she feuded with Jericho. That's how freaking funny that is when you think about it. Now, yeah, she's a mess now, and she's doing porn, whatever. But realistically, she was pretty damn influential as a female. And then on top of that, when she got in the ring, she could actually move around pretty well. So I think China is probably like the Brock Lesnar of the Diva division when you think about it, because she overpowered girls. It wasn't even close. You're going to put China up against Trish Stratus?
Oh, man.
No. That's a good pick in that sense. But, again, though, China was a lot of – when she did wrestle, yeah, she was dominating, but she didn't wrestle women a lot. She wrestled men, and she wasn't really dominating against the men. She was – more of a game changer for Triple H. You come in, hit the low blow, provide the distraction, things like that. When she was wrestling guys, she lost more than she won. But when she started wrestling girls, yeah, she you know, blew off, you know, a lot of people. I mean, she blew up a lot of people. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a girl holding her own against a man, you know, we're talking a whole other ball game there. I don't really see, you know, I don't think Lita really wrestled any dudes, but I could buy Lita putting up an okay fight, maybe against a cruiserweight dude. But I mean, you saw China like taking the British Bulldog out, you know, back when Hunter first, you know, got together with her. I mean, you saw China taking the hearts out. Like, granted, there were a lot of elbows outside the ring and interference, but still, you know, China kind of laid it down for a while. So I think realistically, I think a lot of our guys are a wash. Like in a match, you could say that, you know, Austin, you know, they're going to cancel each other out. We all took Austin. The Rock, Randy Orton, and HBK. I mean, I guess we can either cancel it out or we can give the edge to The Rock if you guys want me to be overly nice. Taker versus, like, the Ultimate Warrior, or Taker versus Mankind, Taker versus H. I think for the most part, unless Triple H is on some major heel business and he's got one hell of a, like, push behind him, I think Undertaker's winning that. So I just think I think for the most part our lineups are pretty legit next to each other, but I'm gonna be a little I think I got the women's on lock though. You gotta admit, China against Trish and Lita. You really think that you really think China's losing both those matches?
No.
No. Unfortunately not.
So the tiebreaker, I think, has to go to China. But honestly, if I'm doing this like Mount Rushmore, most influential, we only got 90 seconds left, most influential female, I got to go Sable because she broke the mold. You know what I mean? She did major things for that division. So, you know, what, 10 seconds left. You guys got anything left you want to say before I hit the Undertaker music and we get out of here?
Check out NXT Respect tomorrow night. Well, no, Wednesday night. That's the
they got the 60-man Iron Man match, right?
Yeah, with the Divas. So speaking of Divas, this should be interesting to see them watch them go for a whole hour, half an hour, whatever it is.
And that's gonna be freaking interesting.
Hey, I have
something
cool for next week. It's only about 5 minutes long. Yeah.
Chris, what do you think? Yeah, but what do you think about that NXT match?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Oh, I'm just going to stop answering questions on
this
show.
That is never going to get old. Hey, Billy Gunn, take us out of here.
And, of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.